Morning. Today's daf is Hey in Gittin. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf as long as Zechnish Maslibe Gabriela Bashmuel. We find ourselves on Dalamud Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. In the middle of a machlokes between Rab and Rava, this has been and will continue to be a multiple day daf discussion regarding the topic of the first Mishnah of the Masechta. The first Mishnah tells us that when you bring a get, Mi Medina Sayam, from outside of Eretz Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, you're a shliach laholacha, charged with the mission of delivering a get from the husband to the wife. So when presenting the get to the wife, you must say b'fana nechta, b'fana nechta. You must do so in a grouping. Today's Gemara, we're going to be discussing how large a group are we talking about. It's either going to be two or three. We'll discuss later this morning the svaras, why should that be. But you must say b'fana nechta, b'fana nechta. Without saying that formulation, so the get's not going to be a valid get. Later at the end of today's daf, we're going to see that according to some Tanaim, it's a fatal flaw in a get. The get is going to be totally negated if you do not say these magic words. Now the words literally mean that it was written in front of me and it was signed in front of me. That is what the shliach is reporting. And why does he need to say that? So this is a machlokas between Rabba and Rava, which we were introduced to on Beis Amud Beis, and it continued through Dav Gimel, through Dav Dalet, and it will continue through today as well. So a four-day discussion in the daf regarding this machlokus of Rab and Rav. Rab is of the opinion that you say b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta, because what you're doing is you're testifying that the get was written l'shma, that there is a halacha regarding getting that it has to be written l'shem ish, l'shem isha, for this particular man and for this particular woman, and if it was not written l'shma, the get is pasul. That is that's one of the basic requirements of a get, that it has to be written l'shma, and so what you are testifying is that it was done so. The concern, as we discussed all the way back on Dav Beis, is that the Mimedina Sayyam, the Sofer Mimedina Sayyam, some of them don't know about this halachic requirement of Lishma. Now, exactly how to frame that they don't know, either like Rashi says that they're uninformed, they're uneducated, or Tosa says a little fancier, is that they know of it, but they don't hold of it. It's a drasha, they don't hold of the drasha. Either way, however you want to frame it, but there's a concern they don't know about it. So therefore, we are the shliach is testifying b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta. Okay, Rav is of the opinion that no, the issue is not lishma. Everybody knows about lishma according to Rava. The issue is kiyum. We know that like all documents that go through a certification process. This document too is going to go through a certification process in which when you certify the document, it has to be done. let me take one step backwards. Certification can be done in one of three ways. The Gemara in Ksuvos in the second paragraph discusses this at length. One way is to have the witnesses themselves testify that they signed it. They will do so in a Beis Din. Beis Din will write a henpik, will write a certification that this was in fact certified. Two, you have another pair of witnesses come and testifying about this. Or three, you compare this to another star with these signatures that already went through a certification process. Those are the three ways that you certify a document. Here, the Gemara says that the shliach is coming and he's testifying towards the signatures themselves, and that's why you say it's kiyum hashtar. The Gemara admits, of course, you in theory you should need two, because in order to do kiyum shtars you need a pair of witnesses, not one. So the Gemara already dealt with that. We already discussed that. How in this particular case one would be sufficient. Okay. That's the basics of what we've been discussing on Daf Beis, on Daf Gimel, and on Daf Dalet. Spent so much time with this discussion because what we did, especially over the course of yesterday, is we looked back at our Mishnah and we first of all analyzed and got to a better understanding of the shitas within the Mishnah. Tanakama, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, back to the Rabbanan Basrai. We went through all the various shitas in the Mishnah to see who is it more reflective of, the position of Rabbah or the position of Rava. We did that yesterday. Okay, Tanan. We are continuing now where we left off yesterday on Dal Amud Beis. We are about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud. We are going to once again review our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, the Gemara is quoting, Rabbi Shimon Gamla Amar Afilo Mehegmonia Lagmonia. Even if I'm going from one province to another province, meaning it's in the same basic country, however, two governing bodies are governing these particular areas. And once again, it sounds like there's a bit of a travel restriction. The Amar Rav Yitzchak Ir Achas Haisa Be'Eretz Yisrael. Rav Yitzchak describes how there was one city within Eretz Yisrael, the Asasi Ashma, identifies the name of the city, Vayuba, Basic Monios, Shayim Makpidim Zelze, and they were in the same city. It was basically divided into two governing bodies, and travel restriction was really restricted between these two cities. And that's why, that's an example of Magmonia Legmonia. So, what are we describing right now? We're describing in Eretz Yisrael, where everyone's knowledgeable, and the issue is travel restriction. People don't travel from one part of the city to the other part of the city, because there are two different governing bodies. What does it sound like? The whole issue over here is Kiyum Hashtar. So, L'Rava Nicha L'Rava Kasha. So the Gemara says, now, for Rava, perfect. Exactly what you expected to hear. That once we have a problem obtaining the certification of the original witnesses, so therefore the shliach himself is going to be empowered with the ability to certify the signatures. Good. That's great. According to Rabbah, the issue is lishma. Here it shouldn't be an issue. We're talking about in Eretz Yisrael. We're talking about people knowledgeable. And yet, the Brisa says, commenting on Rosh Hashanah and Gamliel, this is an example. This is an illustration in which you're going to have to say b'fanenechta. Okay, so, and this is a strong question, and unlike the last three dapim of Gemara, two and a half dapim of Gemara, where the Gemara was able to resolve, respond over here, this is a really difficult question. It's going to cause the Gemara to rethink the machlokis, and the Gemara will concede to the following. Rabba islay de Rava. So the Gemara concedes now that Rabba agrees to Rava's concern, meaning Rabba now really has two considerations in terms of why I need to say b'fanenechta, b'fanenechta. Number one, lishma. Number two, kiyum shtaros. Rabba agrees to Rava. But what if we flipped it? Doesn't work the other way around. Rava does not hold of Rava. Meaning Rava says that there's only one concern. The one concern is Kiyum Sharas. Lishma is not a concern. Rava has been and continues to be consistent on this point. Everybody knows about Lishma, the Sofrim in Eretz Yisrael, Sofrim outside of Eretz Yisrael. Everybody knows about Lishma. That is simply not a concern. The only reason why we say Befanenechtav is for the purposes of Kiyum Hashtaras.
What's the difference between Rava
and then Phil's question now. Elamai Beinayu. So now the Gemara has to recap now. So now that we know that for Rava, there really are two concerns. For Rava, there's only one concern. Now, what are we going to do with our nafkaminas? So the Gemara says we're going to have to pare it down. Meaning the nafkaminas we had, if you remember, all the way back at the beginning of the sugya, on Daf Bezam and Bezam, when the Gemara first introduced us to the machlokas between Rava and Rava. In fact, I'm turning back. I'm just going to revisit the Gemara on Daf Bezam and Bezam. The Gemara says there are three nafkaminas. Ika ben Aaron. Now, this is what was back when we thought that the machlokas was, they are mutually exclusive positions, where Rava holds Lishma, Rava holds Kiyum Sharos. So the Gemara back then says, what are going to be nafkaminas? Number one, Dasyu Beitrei. Let's say it's not one, but it's a pair of witnesses. So again, a pair of witnesses, if the issue is Kiyum Hashtar, you have Kiyum Hashtar right here. You don't have to say b'fanenechtam, b'fanenechtam. If the issue is Lishma, they still need to report Lishma, they're going to need to say b'fanenechtam. Two, Mimidina Mimidina Be'eretz Yisrael. Traveling within Eretz Yisrael, there's no issue of Lishma. It's Eretz Yisrael. If the issue is Kiyum Shtaros, I'm sorry. If the issue is Kiyum Shtaros, so then Kiyum Shtaros is going to be a problem because we're going from one Medina to another Medina, like from the north to the south. So there, they're going to have to testify about the certification of the signatures. And finally, three, Osa Medina, Medina Sayyam. Traveling within the same city outside of Eretz Yisrael. A city outside of Eretz Yisrael, so there, the Lishma issue is a real issue. The Kiyum Shtaros is not an issue. So those are three nafkaminas between Rabba and Rava. The Gemara says, now that we have reset our machlokas, Rabba holds of Rava, Rava doesn't hold of Rabba, so the Gemara says we're going to have to pare down the nafkaminas. Ela mai beinayhu, ika beinayhu, back to our Gemara, bottom of Dalam and Beis, dasyua beitrei. So let's say two witnesses come. Okay, so now two witnesses come. So let's go over each position. According to Rava, you don't have to say b'fanenechta, b'fanenechta, because according to Rava, the only issue is Kiyum Shtar. You have two witnesses. They're going to testify. They don't need to say b'fanenechta, b'fanenechta. Whereas according to Rava, he has two concerns. Number one, Kiyum Shtar, which two witnesses, two shlichim would be fine. But his additional concern is Lishma. they're going to have to testify about lishma. They're going to have to say b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta. Einam ibos medina b'medina seyam. Or another nafka mina would be traveling within the same city outside of Eretz Yisrael. So if the only issue is kiyamashtar, not a problem. We're within the same city. If the issue is also, which according to Rabbah, it's also, according to Rabbah, it's also lishma, well, we have to assume that, or be concerned with the fact that they don't know about lishma, you have to say b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta. Okay, what about the third nafka mina? The third nafka mina fell away. Third nafka mina was going from Medina to Medina within Eretz Yisrael. So within Eretz Yisrael, lishma now is no longer consideration. Everybody knows about the topic of lishma. The only concern is kiyum shtar, but they both agree to kiyum shtar. Tanan. I may be getting Medina. So, if you bring in a get from Medina and you can't say for reasons which we're going to articulate in just a moment. So, if you can conjure up witnesses, so good. So then you'll do Kiyam Shtar. Now, Vihavinanba. That is a Braisa. Actually, it's a Mishnah coming up later on. My ve'eino yachol omar. What exactly is meant by the phrase, and he couldn't say b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta? Ilei mecheresh, so we're on top of heyamad aleph. Now, is the case talking about where the cheresh was the one delivering the get? The Gemara says it cannot be. Cheresh bar suya gitahu. Is the cheresh in the position where he can give a get? V'atanam, we're not in the Mishnah, kol k'sherim l'habitz again. Chutz mesher, cheresh ot v'katan. Cheresh ot v'katan are simply not bardas, and they're not qualified to deliver the transport the get. So we can't be talking about a So, what happened was is that when you handed the get over to this shliach, he was a pikeach. At the time when you handed it to him, he was a full cognitive ability. And then handed the get over, and then after having handed the get over, he then becomes a cheresh. Okay. Now, so that is the case in hand. Lirava Nicha. Now remember, what was the problem? The problem now is that he handed over the get. He was at the time of delivery a legitimate shliach, and then afterwards, when he needed to say the magic words, b'fanenechtam, so then the cat caught his tongue. He becomes a cheresh. Okay. According to Rava, I perfectly understand the Braisa. What did the Braisa say? We need to do kiyum shtar. We can't do Kiyam Ashtar because the Shliach couldn't do Kiyam Ashtar because he couldn't speak. If you can get an outsider, or in this case, a pair of outsiders, to come and to verify your signature, problem solved. Good. So the Braisa works out perfectly according to Rava. But L'Rabba Kasha, but according to Rava, we have a significant problem. The reason why you say B'fanei Nechtam, according to Rava, is twofold. Number one, for Kiyam Ashtar, but number two, also for Lishma. Over here, we can get outsiders to verify the signature, but this shliach was the one necessary in order to make sure that the get was written lishma. And now that he no longer can speak, so how can a pair of witnesses help our situation out? They can't testify to the fact that the get was written lishma. Okay, again, a really strong question against Rabbah. So the Gemara says that there was, regarding this issue of Lishma and the lack of knowledge of Lishma, there were different historical periods. There was, up until now, we just simply assumed outside of Eretz Yisrael they didn't know about Lishma. And again, that's an oversimplification. Most of them did, some of them didn't. This is a chashash, but okay. Let's just say, just for the sake of simplicity, we're going to say that they didn't know about lishma. Then, what we're learning right now for the first time in the Masechta is that there came a point in time where, right, everyone became educated on the issue, and then they knew. So this braisa is talking about acher shelimdu. After the Medina Sayyam becomes familiarized with the idea of Lishma, so therefore that's what the Bryce is dealing with, and that's why the Bryce says, as long as you can resolve the Kiyam Shtar issue, you're fine. What about Lishma? We're talking about a Tekufa of La'achar Shelamdu. And then what the Gemara is now presenting is that there would be no Machlokas. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so then why does the Braisa have to conjure up a case where he couldn't speak, even if he could speak? Meaning, shouldn't the point be the same point? Meaning, let's talk about a case where he delivered the get and he just simply didn't say it. So the Gemara says, "Gzer shem yachzer davar likil kulam." So the Gemara says, "Look, we know right now everyone's educated and everyone knows about Lishma, but history ends up repeating itself. We know that at one point they didn't know about Lishma, so right now they do, but the Gemara says I can easily envision where that's going to get lost. The idea of Lishma is going to get lost, so we're going to be concerned. So as a general practice, we're still going to have the shliach say, Befane nechtav u befane nechtam. Ihach yinu echol na'ami. So the Gemara says, well, if you're right, meaning if we're still going to keep it a standard procedure, so then let's go back to the Braisa. The Braisa talked about a case where the guy at the time of delivery was fine, and then when it came time for him to deliver the get, he did so, and immediately after delivering the get, it becomes a cherish. And he can't say Befane nechtav, Befane nechtam. What bothers the Gemara now is that even though people know about Lishma, but it's standard procedure to say Befana Nechtam, Befana Nechtam, so it's standard procedure. So he becomes a deaf mute at the time and he can't say it. Don't we have a problem? So the Gemara says, the Gemara says, yeah, but this is such an unlikely case. Chachamim make a gzera, but for quote unquote more standardized cases, more regular cases. The average scenario, this is such an aberration, such an unusual scenario. Chachamim do not incorporate this as part of their gzera. The Gemara says, yeah, really. But consider the following. We're going to learn this later in the Masechta. Ha'isha atma mevia gita vavash. So a woman's going to be delivering her own get. That is unusual.
Delivering to who?
She's going to go, when she gets to Eretz Yisrael, she's then going to put it from her right hand and firmly place it into her left hand. Huh?
It's already in her domain.
The case over here, it's an unusual case. It's a very unusual case. The husband says to the wife, I'm divorcing you. Here's your get. However, I do not want it to be functional, activated, until you get to Eretz Yisrael. It's a very unusual case. And that's exactly why the Gemara is asking the question. The Gemara is saying, you really think the Chachamim don't anticipate unusual circumstances? Here's an extraordinarily unusual circumstance. And meanwhile, she gets to Eretz Yisrael, and she herself is going to testify about her very own get, Befanenechtam. So why do we do that? So the Gemara says, Shalotachlok Bishlichus. So the Gemara says, yeah. But as we learned earlier in the Masechta, we're going to learn again, we're learning now, we're going to learn later on as well, a woman's within her right to be a shliach for a get. Not for herself, meaning in general, for anyone. In other words, the deliverer of a get doesn't have to be a man, the deliverer of a get could be a woman. So what we want people to get used to is the idea that any shliach should say b'fanenechtam, b'fanenechtam. And even though in this case it's a woman, but more unusual, it's not just a woman, it's the wife herself, but still, a woman could bring a get, and so therefore we want everyone to be in the habit to say b'fanenechtam, b'fanenechtam. Ihachi bal nami, Allah matanya, the Gemara says, okay, we want everyone to say it. What about the husband? What if the husband is the one delivering the get? Tanya, the Gemara here quotes a Braisa, who wants Moshe Evi Gito and Sirach Lama B'fanei Nechtam, B'fanei Nechtam. He, the husband, doesn't have to say B'fanei Nechtam, B'fanei Nechtam. Again, the get was written in Medina Sayyam, signed in Medina Sayyam. The get now is being delivered and shuttled by none other than the husband himself. He doesn't have to say B'fanei Nechtam, B'fanei Nechtam. Why not? Don't we want everyone saying it? Everyone who could be qualified to deliver the get should be saying it. So the Gemara says, "Time am I? I'm a rabbanan. Tzarich lomar b'fanechtam, b'fanechtam. Dilma alsi bal ma'aret." The Gemara says, "Remember, the reason why the Chachamim instituted this is so that if and when the husband ever challenges the validity of the get, so against that we have our utterance of b'fanechtam, b'fanechtam, which shuts him down. Remember, we saw Rashi earlier in the Masechta. Rashi says that even though one against one, we generally say it creates a stalemate, not with the one witness who is in charge, with the one shliach who is in charge to say b'fanechtam, b'fanechtam. He's given additional powers. He'll trump the protest of the husband. So the Gemara says that's the only reason why we have the institution of Befanei Nechtam, Befanei Nechtam, Upostolate. Hasha Minkanakele Biadeva, Irakama Arelaha? The Gemara asks, incredibly, it won't happen. The husband himself is the one delivering the get. And then after having delivered the get, then he's going to start challenging the validity of the get? I mean, we can imagine, anything can happen. But this is so unlikely, this is so unusual. This would be counterproductive to what he's doing right now. Gemara says, there's no need for him to say Befanei Nechtam, Befanei Nechtam. Okay, Tashma. We are in the middle of Hamad Aleph, and again, just more discussion on this machlokus between Rab and Rava. Tashma, the Gemara says, coming here, Dabami Neshmol me Rav Huna. The following question was posed from Rav Huna. Shnayim she'evio get me Medina Sayam. Two people who are delivering a get from Medina Sayam, Sarach Shiomer b'faneinu nechtav u b'faneinu nechtam, o ain't tzrichim. So here now, it's not one person delivering the get, it's two. Do they have to say the magical formula of Bifaneinu, Nechta v'Nechtam? Amalei ain't tzrichim. So the answer of Rav Huna was, it is unnecessary for them to say it. Why? Uma ilu yomer Bifaneinu garsha me'lo mehemne. Because basically, they are a pair of witnesses. Let's imagine that without saying anything, and without even bringing a get, they just testified to the fact that she was divorced. We're going to believe them. They're two witnesses. So we now need them to say Befaneinu Nechta v'Nechtam? It's not necessary. Okay, it sounds like the Gemara is operating with a migu over here. But either way, okay, two do not need to say Befaneinu Nechta v'Faneinu Nechtam. Now LaRava Nicha LaRava Kasha. Here we go once again for Rava. Perfect, because for Rava there's only one concern. Kiyam Shtaras. Here, no concern. There are two people, two witnesses delivering the get. Fine. They don't need to say it. But from Rabbah's standpoint, of course they need to say it. The whole issue is Lishma. I don't care if it's 10 people bringing the get, 100 people bringing the get. How do we know that the get was written Lishma? With the magic words of Bifaneinu Nechta v'Nechtam. Here, the answer of Rav Huna is, nah, you don't need to say it. You don't need to say it. According to Rabbah, of course you need to say it. So, again, it's a strong question against Rabbah. Again, the Gemara says, this response was given after the Medina Sayyam learned about this halach of Lishma. Ihachichanami. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, then one shouldn't have to say it. So the Gemara says, once again, history repeats itself. They now know, but maybe they won't know in the future. Ihachi betre nami. So the Gemara says, what about two? Betre the maisigita milsa lo shchicha. Milsa lo shchicha lo gazru be rabbanan. So the Gemara says, two people delivering again, that's very unusual. And the Chachamim are not misakin for these unusual circumstances. Ha'isha de lo shchicha v'tana isha atma mivia geto v'avashihi. Atma shchicha lama v'fanai nechta v'fanai nechtam. This should be sounding familiar because now the Gemara is going into a little bit of a rerun. The Gemara says, well, what about a woman? So the woman who does have to say it. So Shol Tachlok B'Shlichus. The Gemara says, yeah, but we don't want to make distinctions in Shlichus. A woman can be a valid Shlich to bring the get. We want all women to get into the habit of saying Befanei Nechtam, Befanei Nechtam, even in this unusual circumstance where the woman is delivering is the wife herself. Ihachi Bal Nami. What about the husband? Alam Tanya who Atzma She'evi Gita who in Tzarech Lomer Befanei Nechtam, Befanei Nechtam. Taima Maya Mar Rabbanan Tzarech Lomer Befanei Nechtam, Befanei Nechtam. Dilma Asi Bal Ma'ara Upasalei. Hashem Min Kanakele Biadei Vi'ur Kama'ara Aleha. What about the husband who doesn't need to say Befanei Nechtam, Befanei Nechtam? The Gemara answers, the husband doesn't need to say it because the only reason why the Chachamim instituted it was simply so that the husband doesn't later protest. If the husband himself is delivering the get, he's not going to be protesting. That would be called counterproductive. Ta Shma. Towards the bottom of Hey Amud Aleph. Ha maybe get me Medina Siyam. But now Sala Valamar Velo Amala Bifanechta Fanenechtam. Im this kind of Chosmav Kashavi Im Lav Pasal. The have lo hutzur chalama befanei nechta befanei nechtam lahachmir alaha ela lahakal alaha. The Gemara quotes a brisa. Now, most of the brisa we've already heard before. It's the last line of the brisa that becomes interesting, and it's the reason why the Gemara brings it up now. You bring in a get from Medina Sayyam. You didn't say the words befanei nechtam befanei nechtam. If you can get outsiders to verify the signature, good. And if not, so then you have a problem. And then the Braisa concluded by saying the words, I'm going to reread the last line of the Braisa. Have lo hutzur chalomar b'fanenechtam, b'fanenechtam, lahachmeh Allah, ala lahakal Allah. you know, this institution of the Chachamim, to say Befanenechtam, is there not to hurt her, but to help her.
It's not to look for people's signs.
Correct. So, L'Rava Nicha. So once again, for Rava, I got it. Meaning what the rabbis instituted with Befanenechtam is it takes away our need, our requirement to find two witnesses to verify the signature. Because the shlich himself is going to serve as the verifier. Great. And if he didn't do his job, okay, so we'll go back to try to find two witnesses. And if we can, so all well and good. And if we can't, we have a problem. But the whole institution was to help her out. But Rabba Kasha, but according to Rabba, that's difficult. Because remember, according to Rabba, he has two concerns. He agrees to Kiyum Shtar, but he also has an additional concern of Lishma. And Lishma is coming to tell me that they may not know about Lishma, and I need the Shlich to say, Befanenechtam, to verify the get was written Lishma. And if he doesn't say the magic words, so then we have now what's called a problem. An unresolvable problem. So L'Rabba Kasha. So the Gemara says, yeah, but this Bryce is talking about after people have learned about the Shema. The Gemara says, yeah, but even after the masses were educated, didn't we say that it's still standardized practice because we're worried about history repeating itself? So the Gemara says, Kishini says. Gemara says, well, in this particular case, she received the get. The signatures were verified. Lishma is not an issue because we're living during a time where the masses know about Lishma. And yes, it's standardized practice where we still say Befanenechtam, Befanenechtam, but here we're talking about after having received the get, she remarries. Because that's the whole point of a get. So that she can now move on. And she can remarry. And she did. So, Iachi, Have, Lohutzer Cholom, Befanenechtam, Befanenechtam, Lachim Allah, El Hakal Allah, Mishum Deni say so. So the Gemara says, if you're right, so what did the Braisa end off by saying? Well, you know, the whole institution was not to hurt her, but to help her. Why doesn't the Braisa conclude by saying, and oh, by the way, she's remarried? Meaning, because that's the critical point. So the Gemara says, Hachi Kamar. Gemara says, well, that's pretty much what the Braisa meant. Hachi Kamar. V'chitem lachme Allah, v'lafka. Maybe we should be machme on her to tell her to remove herself from her new marriage. Because the get that she used in order to remarry is not good. Maybe we should tell her that. So have a So that's what the Braisa is saying. The Braisa is saying she does not need to get a divorce. Time am I? So the Gemara says that the husband's not going to do it. If the husband's not, because we have the signature certified, so if the husband's not going to do it, we're not going to do it as well. Period. Adkan. Okay. Hammond Aleph is now in the books. We're on the top of Hammond Beis. So again, just as a quick recap, more discussion of Machlok is Rabba and Rava. We have, there was a breakthrough today, in that we learned that according to Rabba, he has actually two concerns. He has a concern of Lishma, and he has a concern also of Kiyum Ashtar. Rava still maintains firm. There's only one concern, and that's Kiyum Ashtaros. According to Rava, that now means that if, let's say, the shlich did not say Befanenechtam, Befanenechtam, it's not the end of the world. If we can find two witnesses to certify the signature, even though the get was written in a distant land, but if we can find them, so we could still resurrect the get. And the Gemara quoted a number of Mishnayos and Braisos. And again, everyone stayed firmly entrenched in the position. But again, we did make a breakthrough in terms of Rabba agrees to Rava. Rabba agrees to Rava.
Did you say that since Rava was after Rabba, maybe by then the whole concept of
could be
the was already like taking place in Lulemon.
Could be Rav Huna, which the Gemara quoted earlier as a proof or a challenge. So he lived earlier, meaning Rav Huna was a student of Rav, a student of Shmuel, meaning he was a what we would call second generation Amora. So, and he lived earlier. So it certainly sounds like the Machlokas predated, so to say, a Rav and Rava. Okay. Biplukta de Rav Yochanan Rav Shur ben Levi. Okay, and now This machlokes between Rabba and Rava is not just limited to the Amoraim of Bavel, but it also includes the Amoraim of Eretz Yisrael as well. Rav Yochanan, Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, and Eretz Yisrael, they also debate what would be the, what's the purpose, what's the need of saying b'fanin echta, b'fanin echta. So charam alafishay mekim l'shma, v'charam alafishay neidim etzim l'kaimo. Okay, now right now, as the Gemara presented it to us, here's what we know. We know it's a machlokes, we know what the positions are, but we don't know who to connect whom to. So what we're going to do now is come up with a very simple conclusion. We're going to match Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi to the position of Lashma, meaning it's Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi who agrees with Rabba. How do I know that? I get was brought in front of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, alone. And a simple question was asked. Do I need to say b'fanenechtam? So Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi's response is, nah, you don't need to say it. You don't need to say it because this institution was for the earlier generations. The older generations did not know about Lishma. So, but now everyone knows about Lishma. Therefore, there's no need to say it. Okay, what did we just learn?
The question.
He implied that he
knew the answer.
Okay, could be. Tistayim. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we just learned is that, according to Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, he agrees with Rabba that the issue is Lashma. Gemara says, but wait one second. After 4 days of daf on this topic, haven't we wisened up? Don't we know? V'tiz Rabba Islay de Rava. Okay, we started off today's daf by learning, by just realizing that Rabba agrees to Rava. That means that even if you subscribe to the position of Lashma, but you also agree to the position of Kiyum Shtaros. And furthermore, didn't we say also a number of times today that history ends up repeating themselves? And there was a time when people didn't know, and even though the masses were educated, but don't we still standardize the practice of B'fanin Echtam, B'fanin Echtam? What is Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi talking about as he shrugs his shoulders and says, nah, you don't need to say it anymore? Sure you do. Number one, there's an issue of Kiyum Shtar. Number two, Shem Yachzor Davar L'Kol Kulo. The Gemara says, I don't understand what just happened over here. Ela Rabbi Shimon bar Abba Inish Achrina Ahava Ba'adei V'had Lo Chashu Lemishim Kvoda De Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, and it's really what you're going to have to say, Rabbi Shimon, when he delivered the get, was not by himself. There was another one with him. So there was another person with him. Mm-hmm. So now, Kiyum Shtar, check. We have two witnesses now. So Kiyum Shtar no longer becomes an issue. The only issue now becomes a Lishma. Now, what was Rabbi Shimon Levi's response? Everyone knows about Lishma. So we only really resolved one of the two questions. The first question was, what about Kiyum Shtar? Answer, Kiyum Shtar settled. Why? Because of, we have two witnesses. But what about Shema Yachzor Davar L'Kol Kulo? What are we going to do with that? So what we're going to do with that is what we did earlier this morning. And that is answer, this is Milsa de lo Shchicha. This is something unusual. It's unusual for two people to deliver a get. So lo gazro bei Rabbanan. So we're going to say the same thing over here. Okay, Itmar. Bifnei kama nosna la. Okay. So now, we're going to move on. We touched on this point earlier in the Masechta, but now we get to revisit it.
You said that halacha follows Rav or
Rav? We're not there yet. We'll get there. Okay, nosna la. I'm sorry. Bifnei kama nosna la. Okay, here's what's going to happen. The shliach is going to be delivering the get from Chutz Aretz into Eretz Yisrael. He's going to be handing it over to the woman, and as we pointed out earlier, and now the Gemara is going to spend a little more time with this issue, in front of a group of men. How large a group? So your options are going to be either be two or three. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chanina, Chanan, Rabbi Bifnei Shlaim, Chanan, Rabbi Bifnei Shlosha. So the Gemara says it's a machlokas. It's either going to be, your number is going to be two or three. So, Tistayim de Rav Yochanan Udam Rabbi Bifnei Shnayim. So, the Gemara says, here's what I know. Rav Yochanan says it's in front of two. How do I know that? The Gemara says it's a very simple proof. De Rav and Baruch Chista Aisei Gita Lakam de Rav Yochanan. So, the Gemara illustrates a scenario where an Amora deliver to get in front of Rav Yochanan. And Rav Yochanan says, I'll give you very simple instructions. You're going to be delivering it in front of two. And when you deliver it, you're going to be saying the magic words of Befanenechtam to Stayim. So the Gemara says, that's good. That was easy. So now we know that Rav Yochanan says that the delivery of the get has to be done in front of two. Which means then that the is Bar Plukta, Rabbi Chanina says it has to be done in front of three. Okay, so now good. We know whether it's going to be done in front of two or in front of three. Here's the part that we don't yet know. Why? What's behind the machlokas of whether I have to deliver in front of two or deliver in front of three? So the, yes, that's correct. So the Vahadam, sorry. Okay, lema. Lema ba'akim eflugi, the mandam b'fnei shlaim kasav lefi she'en b'kim l'shma, u'mandam b'fnei shlosha kasav lefi she'en demutzum l'kaimo. So the Gemara says, here seems to be the machlokas. If you subscribe to two, that means what? It means two serves as a pair of witnesses. And it's basically they're going to be providing testimony. Testimony to what? That the get was written l'shma. How do they know? They know because the shliach himself is testifying in front of the witnesses that the get was written l'shma. Now it happens to be, this is what we would refer to as aid me pi aid. Right? In general, in terms of aidus, it's what we call hearsay. Okay? Right? I didn't see this firsthand. I heard this from a friend who heard this from a friend. Now, generally speaking, in the world of halacha, hearsay is no good. There are areas in halacha where hearsay is acceptable. The end of Yevamos, we discussed at length, where you're testifying about the death of the husband. We don't want the woman to become a naguna. So that's a circumstance where hearsay is admissible. Generally speaking, though, hearsay is not admissible. Over here, it is a little bit strange. I'm raising the issue. I don't have a good resolution to the issue. But over here, the two are going to, if ever necessary, going to be the ones testifying to the idea that the get was written l'shma. How do I know that? Because the shliach who delivered said, b'fane nechta, b'fane nechta. Okay. The Gemara says that would be explaining the position of two. And then they explain the position of three. The Gemara says, well, that's easy. Because what is three? Three is a Beis Din. Why do I need a Beis Din? Because whenever you certify a document, it has to be done in front of a Beis Din. Rashi over here quotes the Gemara in Ksuvos, it has to be done in front of a Beis Din. That's why I would need three. So the machlokus of whether a delivery has to be done in front of two or three is going to run parallel to the machlokus of why do you have to say b'fanenechta, b'fanenechta? Is it because of lishma? Then deliver it in front of two. If it's because of kiyum shtaros, deliver it in front of three. The Gemara says, now that sounds wonderful. It's not, that's nice and neat. But, like... So the Gemara says, it's neat, but it's not right. Because if you remember, on the top of the Amud, we said that the Machlokas Rab and Rava runs parallel to the Machlokas of Rav Yochanan, Rav Yeshua ben Levi. And what do we also say? We also identified that it was Rav Yochanan who said, Lefi she'ene demetzum lekaimo, that his issue was an issue of Kiyum Ashtar. V'hachei kam Rav Yochanan b'fnei shnayim. So the Gemara says now we know that Rav Yochanan says the issue is Kiyum Ashtar. And we just learned that according to Rav Yochanan, deliveries in front of two. That's not good. Kiyum Ashtar needs to be done in front of three, needs to be done in front of a Beis Din. That's question number one. Question number two, Phil, this is what you just asked. Ve'od ha-Rabba Islay de-Rava. And we also came through the breakthrough today realizing that Rabba agrees to the concern of Rava. Everyone agrees to Kiyum Ashtar. So if everyone agrees to Kiyum Ashtar, so everyone should be saying it needs to be done in front of three. Okay, these are strong questions. Ella, the kulei ama beinan edim etzum lekaimo. So the Gemara concedes, and the Gemara says, "You are right. Everyone's of the opinion that we need kiyum ashtar, and kiyum ashtar, of course, needs to be done in front of a Beis Din. So v'hach b'shlech nasa aid, the aid nasa dayan kemiflugi. Okay, it becomes into a classic machlokus that we saw, and we will see a number of times throughout Shas, and that is, can I switch hats? I right now am a shliach. Can I take off my shliach hat and put on my edus hat? I'm now an aid. Can I take off my hat of being an aid and now become a member of Beis Din? And this is a machlokus that occurs again and again throughout Shas. Now, shliach converting into an aid, not much of a machlokus. That's an easy transition. But an aid becoming a dayan, that's rough. Right? And intuitively, we all understand. The aide is there to testify what he saw. The dayan is there to judge the case based on the testimony. So one can easily envision how, and easily formulate the position of, you can't be an aide and then move to the other side of the bench, sit behind the bench, and then judge the case. You can easily envision that position. The other position of an aide becoming a dayan, it's harder to formulate how that works. In the meantime, however, the Gemara says that could very well be the machlokus over here. Mandamar. Just one second. Let me just spell it out. Mandamar bifnei shleim katzav shlech nasei veid nasei dayan. So the one who says two, because look, what's going to happen? The shliach is going to come. He's going to say b'fanenechtam. So he was the shliach. He's now moving into the category of being an aide, and then he'll sit on the bench together with the other two, and he'll accept the testimony. Now I know it's odd, because whose testimony is he accepting? Right, his own. What a good shliach. He's right. He's right. I like what he said. So I know it sounds funny. The one who says three is because you need a pre-existing Beis Din. This person cannot serve as a shliach, who then becomes an aide, which, by the way, that you can do, but then he can't move from being an aide to becoming a dayan. Gemara says, that is the machlokas. The Gemara says, but wait one second. V'akai malan b'derabban adeid nasa dayan. However, the Gemara also points out, again, this goes back to the Gemara Ksuvos, Rashi quotes it, this, the issue of switching hats and switching roles, that's true if the aedus in question is a dinda araisa. But over here, again, let's remind each other, we're talking about a dinda rabbanan. Everybody knows about lishma, or most everybody knows about lishma, and kiyum shtar to begin with is a dinda rabbanan. So at best, what we're discussing over here is a din derabbanan. And kaimalan, it's established b'derabbanan de'ed nasa dayan, that an aid can become a dayan on dinei derabbanan. So all that considered, what's the issue over here? The aid can become a dayan. So why do you need three? Elahachabah kemiflegi demar sofer kem de'ishak sher lahavias aget zimnan demayt filay isus of samchi Allah. So the Gemara says, but we also know that a woman is eligible to be a shliach to deliver the get. We know that she can become a shliach, but she obviously cannot become a dayan. So that's the issue over here. Are we worried about such a scenario? So one position is we're worried about that scenario. So therefore, let's never run into a problem. Always start off with a Beis Din of three when receiving the get. The idach isha meida yadai velo samche Allah. And the other position is, no, look, if this ever happens, women know that they don't serve as judges on the court. In that circumstance, they'll get three. But in general, you can have one shliach delivering the get, serving as the shliach, serving as the aide, serving as the dayan. This is a din derabbanan. By dinei derabbanan, everyone's in agreement that you can switch roles. So Gemara says, and the fact that a woman can be the one delivering the get, if that were to happen, so then we'll have three. Gemara says. The Gemara only said lo shliach by cases where the wife herself delivers. But a woman delivering doesn't sound like that's so unusual. Tanya Kavasi to Rav Yochanan, the Gemara quotes a brisa like Rav Yochanan, maybe get me Medina Sayam, Vinasullah, Vamarlah, Bifanechlam, Yosef Avlad Mams, or Divrabi Meir. So you bring a get from overseas into Eretz Yisrael, and you don't say Bifanechlam, Fanenechlam, so she will, the get's no good. If she remarries, she's going to have to sever that new marriage. If she has a child with that new marriage, that child is a Mamser. So, right, Divrabi Meir. Vachachamamor, remain of Vlad Mamser, according to the Chachamim, all is not lost. What do? Yase yileno haymenav yachzorav yiden Allah. You take the get away from her. You give it back to her with the magic words of bifnei shnayim. Right? That I almost skipped the most important part of the brisa. The reason why the brisa came in right now. Bifnei shnayim v'yomer bifanei nechtam bifanei nechtam. Okay, you give it to her in front of two. The reason why we brought the brisa in is because of those words of bifnei shnayim, like Rabbi Yochanan. Good, let's just wrap up today's daf. The Gemara says, Reb Meir Shita. What a harsh shita. I didn't comment on it at the time, because that's not why we brought in the Braisa. But now that we're finished with the Braisa, now the Gemara is going to revisit the opinion of Rabbi Meir. That's harsh. What just happened? The shliach delivered the get. The get was written correctly. Everything correctly. The only thing missing is he didn't say the words, Befani nechtam. And Reb Meir says the get is now no good. She can't remarry. If she does, she's got to terminate that new marriage. If she has a child, the child is a mamzer. All this because the words Befani nechtam weren't said. And the Gemara says, can you imagine? And the Gemara is going to say in just a moment, yep, I can imagine. So, I'm sorry. The Gemara says, in. That is correct. Rav Meir is of the opinion that deviation from the formula that the Chachamim prescribed in terms of the delivery of the get will in fact upset the validity of the get all the way to the point where the get's no longer legitimized. Her new marriage obviously cannot be a new marriage. If she has a child, the child is a mamzer. All because you're mishanami matbeah shetav chachamim. That is Rav Meir l'shita. So it is what we would consider to be a harsh position, but still that Rav Meir is consistent. He's consistent throughout regarding making shinuyim in the formula of the chachamim. And so yes, the Gemara says yes, we can envision such a position. Okay, this concludes the daf. More or less, this concludes the machlokas between Rav and Rava. A little bit more to go on the topic, but we'll finish it up tomorrow on Shabbos, God willing. Everyone have a great Shabbos. All right.